Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Unbelievable stuff that's going on here. Did you see this, by the way? Dealt with this on the Battleground America podcast yesterday. One of our lesser known rights is the right to assemble. It is part of the First Amendment as well. First Amendment's not just speech. It's right to assemble, because if you can't assemble and plan, you can't take political action, right? Where's everybody assemble now? Online. Yet, incredibly, one particular set of assemblies, which violated Facebook's code against bullying, violated its standards against bullying. The assemblies organized outside Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf's house in D.C. and Lindsey Graham's D.C. home. They were organized on Facebook, where the addresses for both were published. People knew where to go. A group called D.C. Sunrise. Okay. Facebook's policies on bullying stipulate that you cannot publish somebody's address or threaten to publish someone's address, yet their page was never taken down. The page they used to organize the events. Never taken down. You're the right left winger, you got liberal privilege. Facebook's policies don't apply to you, and you just go use that to go terrorize people in the middle of the night. Folks, it's only a matter of time till they start burning these houses. You know how I know? It's already happening. See this in Minneapolis overnight? Somebody made a mistake of putting a Trump sign in their yard. You can't really do that anymore, especially in certain areas of the country, because these yahoos have been allowed to run loose like lunatics. They burnt parts of the house, the camper, both the cars. Spray painted Black Lives Matter. And Biden 2020. It's where we are. And you can organize the whole thing if you like on Facebook. That'll be fine. What makes that so ironic, because I have a long memory. Facebook is allowing left-wing groups that want to go harass Lindsey Graham and the Department of Homeland Security Secretary in the middle of the night. By the way, publishing his address is particularly bad. And we got wide open borders, folks. Not as bad as they were a couple years ago when liberal judges were almost completely blocking Trump's immigration enforcement. We got pretty wide open borders. Trump's working hard on that, but we still do. You want to publish those addresses? That's why Facebook has a rule against it. But they only apply it to groups that aren't left-wing. See, I remember earlier this year when Facebook shut down organizing pages like event pages for people who wanted to protest the lockdowns. This is a London Daily Mail reporting this. Facebook is accused of colluding with state governments to quash free speech as it shuts down anti-quarantine protest pages. So people were trying to organize protests, usually at the Capitol, not at somebody's home. And they had their organizing pages taken down, even though they didn't violate Facebook's rules. Facebook was talking to local authorities and going, okay, which protesters' pages you want down? Okay, these you don't like them, we'll take it down. In fact, that happened to some protesting here in South Carolina. Heard about it at the time. But if you want to violate Facebook's rules and it's Chad Wolf you want to go after because you don't like immigration enforcement, don't think we should have a border, or Lindsey Graham, because he's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and he's the one in charge of Supreme Court justices being nominated or being confirmed, excuse me, then that's okay. It's all right. This is the problem, folks. This is huge. We are watching not just our free speech taken away from us. It has been outsourced to social media by the elites. They are messing with our ability to organize. And it's going to get worse. I know that because Zuckerberg's already announced it. That was what his manifesto about the election was about. They don't want us to organize once we start seeing the massive fraud. We're already seeing it in some of these states. I mean, they're finding boxes of ballots all over the place, and it just started. So, guess what? He's going to go so far as to shut down the messenger function for groups, if you want to talk about the election. Why? They can't have people organizing to combat the fraud. Now, watch this. Watch how this happens during the election when the left wants to organize a violent beatdown or a burning or some protest outside of a, you know, election center. That'll be allowed. But they've already said, no, we're going to shut down the messenger function for group messaging regarding the election. Why? Because they are trying to prevent us from organizing. We are losing our rights. This is systemic, to use a word the media likes to use a lot. I've covered a lot of this on the Battleground podcast. You can get it by going to 71307 Battleground. So the same Facebook that shut down people who just wanted to go to their state capitals to protest the lockdowns is allowing people to organize a protest outside of Chad Wolf's house, outside of McConnell's house, outside of Lindsey Graham's house. Well, that's funny, because the state of purpose, according to Facebook, was they had to prevent the spread of COVID, right? I mean, we can't let people organize protests, lockdowns, because they might get to COVID. Okay, well, might they not get to COVID in Lindsey Graham's front yard? No, we don't care. No, we don't care about that. Okay, then why do you care if people want to protest the lockdowns? Isn't one case of COVID just like another? This is just, I am scared to death that if Joe Biden wins the lockdown that Facebook has announced for right after the election will never be unlocked. It will never come back up. My Facebook page has completely stopped growing. I've been completely harassed on Facebook. It is never ending. I barely post to it anymore except my podcast. I'm just trying to hold on to my page through the election. A lot of you have asked, why don't you post anymore? Why don't you post much? I'm just trying to hold on to the page. Because just about everything I post gets marked fake, including stuff from the mainstream media. I put two sentence line on top of it, bam, fake. And they don't even explain why it's fake. They just put a false content warning on it. In fact, the truer and more devastating the stuff is that I post, I mean, I'm using New York Times sources, the faster it gets marked fake. We're losing the debate because we're not in it. And now we can't even organize. And it's about to get much worse, because guess what they just announced? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram have all gotten together to streamline their crackdown. They just announced this. They're going to have the same hate speech rules. You know, hate speech is, right? That's where you say, I don't want open borders. I don't like illegal immigration. I'm afraid MS-13 members will come in here and stab more people to death. I don't want to get caught in a violent crossfire. Hate speech. So we should call that political debate, but it's hate speech now. By the way, do you know why they're cracking down on this hate speech? Because Joe Biden's campaign organized over 200 advertisers to say they won't advertise on these platforms if there's any hate speech. And hate speech is legitimate debate about immigration. No, we don't want to say bad things about any group of people. That's not productive. Or any race of people. I get that. That's not what this is. So you are now going to be slapped down across all these platforms, and good luck organizing. They're already telling you this. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg saying anything that casts doubt on the integrity of the election, they're pulling it down or putting a warning on it. Well, I'm sorry, the things that have cast doubt on the integrity of the election is these mail-in ballot elections that have happened in state after state after state, where judges make them redo the race because they can't figure out who won. They got no idea. You're not going to be allowed to talk about it. I mean, here we go again. This is going to be the whole election, folks. November 4th, the Civil War starts. It does. It's not shooting civil war. It's institutional civil war. Trays of mail, including absentee ballots, found in a ditch in Wisconsin. What, they vote Republican? Ooh, better not put that on Facebook. There's some truth. Can't have any truth. This is where we are this morning. Folks, I am convinced, I remain convinced, if we were simply allowed on the battlefield of ideas, have to earn our own hits with our own content, people don't want to watch it, look at it, listen to it, read it, they don't have to, we would win every time. I am convinced of it. We're not on the battlefield right now. We may never be again if we don't win this election.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Folks, we're learning once again everything the media told you, all the main points anyway, about Breonna Taylor's death was a lie, total lie. Yeah, and that, you know what's happened this week? We hit the point of no return. Once you go into a courtroom, you can't lie anymore. Got to tell the truth. Can't withhold facts anymore. That's illegal. Prosecution has to lay it all out, including the stuff that they've had the whole time that exonerates these officers, but withheld while they left them out in the media to hang. And it's always the facts that exonerate the officers, make it clear that they weren't racist, just firing back. Those are always the facts that get withheld. It's happened in case after case. It just happened again with Jacob Blake. For three full days, prosecutors, the mayor, State Attorney General all knew that Jacob Blake had a knife. They also knew that he admitted it on the day he was shot, that he had a knife. They knew they'd found the knife in the floorboard. They also knew that the only thing the public was seeing was that terrible video where he shot four times in the back. They knew there was more video. They said nothing. They want their cities to burn. Once you understand that this is by design, it begins to all make sense because it happens in city after city after city. I will never forget the day I learned on the air. Trayvon Martin was on top of George Zimmerman, slamming his head repeatedly, the back of it into the concrete when he was shot. I'd never seen a picture of the back of George Zimmerman's head before. How did they keep that silent the whole time? It's amazing they keep this stuff silent. That's what they do to these officers. They train officers, as they did in the George Floyd case, to put the knee on the neck of people having excited delirium from a drug overdose. They executed it exactly as it was detailed in the Minneapolis PD manual. Exactly. They did it exactly as it was detailed in the training slides that we've now seen. And we now know George Floyd had three times the fatal limit of fentanyl in his system. Notice they're not talking about him anymore. You want to know why? He's not useful anymore. See, they'd still be talking about George Floyd if somebody hadn't leaked the first 20 minutes of video. That wasn't supposed to be out till the trial, so they could keep, you know, lying, fomenting the racism, leaving two-thirds of the story out, leaving the drug overdose out, leaving the fact that he was foaming at the mouth out, leaving the fact that before anyone touched him, he told the police to tell his children he loved them and goodbye, because he was dying of a drug overdose and he knew it. That's why he was crying. He knew he'd lost his battle with drugs. Saddest, most heartbreaking thing to watch. It was absolutely heartbreaking. He knew he was done as a dad. He knew he'd lost his battle with drugs. He knew it right there on the video. That's why they hid it for so long. That's why some patriot had to release it, had to leak it so the public could know the truth. They were going to ride that all the way up to the George Floyd trial, the racism angle. They were going to hide the drug overdose. Thank God somebody leaked it in that case. It blew up in their faces. Now don't talk about George Floyd anymore. They want to talk about Breonna Taylor. This is all systematically organized. Coming up next, I'm going to run through the Breonna Taylor case with what they told you. This is such a joke. That it was a no-knock warrant, that she was in bed, just innocent in bed, shot for being black. Huh. What a joke. None of that happened. In fact, the actual story, you read it once you have all the pieces, which they're now forced to divulge, and you're like, why are we even talking about this? This isn't racial. It's not. It's not even close. I mean, you're friends with the local drug kingpin. They've been surveilling you for months. They had even put a listening device the police had on her car. She wasn't just in bed while black. You know, like, and you know what? Biden and Kamala Harris keep driving this. You can't leave your house if you're black. You might be shot. No. No, it's not what happened here. Not even close. We're going to go over what did happen in detail. It bears no resemblance to what the media told us. By the way, for those of you who've been telling me for a long time, you're going to talk about Breonna Taylor. I want you guys all to know this is the first day I've ever talked about Breonna Taylor, ever. Because I knew this would happen. So I kept my mouth shut because I don't want to recycle their lies. Now we have all the facts. Now we can talk about it. Unfortunately, two cops have already been shot over this. Riots, destruction, businesses destroyed, all before we have all the details. Now we got the details, folks. We can talk about Breonna Taylor. Talking about her for the first time today. Because that's responsible journalism.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
No, they don't, because the media has poisoned them with lies. Okay, I want to tell you the Breonna Taylor story. Today's the first day I've ever talked about Breonna Taylor, because I knew it'd take till now to get the facts. You know I do that. I'm not getting used by these people. No matter how bad it sounds, no matter how bad that very short video clip looks, I've learned with the media, you got to wait for it all to come out, and it almost never does until they're forced to release it at trial. They always hold back the parts that exonerate the police so as to make them look racist, senselessly, violently racist. Case after case after case. I've got a long list on my Facebook page this morning. So let's talk about what really happened in the Breonna Taylor case. We've never had this before. The media, until today, the media told us she was shot in her bed, a total innocent. Just shot in her bed because she was black and no other reason. And how do they know because she was black? Well, they just assumed. The media claimed Breonna Taylor was shot during a no-knock warrant. There was no knock. They just busted in there, man, started shooting everybody. Because they were black, because that was no other reason. Sounds awfully simplistic, doesn't it? Well, as it always turns out, it is. Let's talk about what actually happened. She was shot in March. Since then, activists have been running around screaming in people's faces, say her name. Taylor was not a complete innocent, not by a long shot, who racist police slaughtered in her bed during a no-knock raid. None of that happened. She wasn't in her bed, for starters, and it wasn't a no-knock raid. Virtually all the key details here never reported by the media, including the boyfriend opened fire first after police announced themselves and knocked, and they refused to come out. See what a difference those facts make? Okay. Here's the Breonna Taylor story. They did not encounter her. Police did not encounter her for the first time when she was, you know, innocently sleeping in her bed. No, it was her friendship with a local drug kingpin that legally justified the raid. We now have it all in writing from the court. And it was her boyfriend's decision to open fire on police who knocked and identified themselves. We didn't know that till yesterday. That led to her shooting. Doesn't mean she deserved to die. I don't want anybody to die. I just want people to have a second chance for redemption. But it does explain why she died. Okay, so the case begins with Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover. And the Louisville Courier-Journal did delve deeply into that relationship. Mainstream media nationwide left it out because it doesn't fit the narrative. Okay, Glover, Jamarcus Glover, is an accused drug trafficker who's believed to be part of a large drug and weapons trafficking ring in Louisville. This is where all the warrants came from. They'd been surveilling the drug and weapons trafficking ring for a while. Because they surveilled the drug and weapons trafficking ring, Breonna Taylor came to their attention. They did not first discover her sleeping in her bed after they shot her. No, no. According to the affidavit, Glover, Jamarcus Glover, the drug kingpin, running the weapons trafficking ring, that dude, he went to Taylor's apartment in January, left the apartment holding a package and went straight to a known drug house. This is when her apartment first became the subject of interest by police. It goes all the way back to January. Multiple warrants to surveil her were issued. Oh, I thought she was just innocent in her bed. No. No, that's not it. This wasn't Glover's only trip to Breonna's apartment. Police placed a tracking device on Glover's car, which showed he made frequent trips to her apartment, leading police to believe her apartment was a holding place for drugs and money. They had had to prove all of this to get the no-knock warrant that led to her house. But when they executed it, they decided to knock. Glover was also heard on surveillance tapes telling someone that Breonna Taylor handled the money for his weapons and drug trafficking organization. All of this was used in court as evidence to get the warrant. She wasn't just there, caught in the wrong place. No, she was it. Taylor also seemed familiar with Glover's world of drugs. When he was arrested in January, he called to ask her to locate an associate who could post bail for him. She answered that the associate was, quote, already at the trap, unquote. That's slang for a drug trafficking house. On another occasion, Taylor posted a $2,500 bond for Daryl Forrest, another man involved in the drug ring. According to the Courier-Journal, the local mainstream media newspaper there, all of this is why police finally got a warrant to search Breonna Taylor's house. They had been surveilling her and other key players in the drug conspiracy, the drug and weapons conspiracy, since January. So Taylor didn't choose any more wisely when it came to her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker. This is the second boyfriend. The most important finding that was released yesterday when they did the press conference was that the police did not do a no-knock raid. They could have. They had a warrant for that. But they announced themselves and knocked on the door. That was what everyone was told to justify why Breonna's boyfriend, Walker, shot at the police when they entered the apartment. Oh, it was no knock. They just kicked the door and came in out of nowhere. He thought he was being robbed. Poor baby. No, they identified themselves. They knocked on the door. Taylor and the boyfriend, Walker, refused to come out. They then knocked the door down. And Walker opened fire. Totally different set of circumstances than the one the media has been telling us since March. Both officers knocked and announced their presence at the apartment. This is from the court documents. The officers' statements about their announcements were corroborated by independent witnesses who were near in proximity to the apartment. In other words, the warrant was not served as a no-knock warrant. That changes everything. When Breonna Taylor and Walker did not answer the door, the officers broke down the door. Sergeant Mattingly entered, saw Walker with a gun pointed at him, and felt himself get shot. See, this is the point at which the left would like you to just go, hey, you know, I get it. You, okay, you don't want to be bothered today with this warrant. We get it. We'll just go home. You cannot open fire on police officers executing a warrant. You can't do that. No one should be able to do that. I don't care what color you are. So the officer feels himself get shot. It would turn out, from a ballistic report also submitted to the court, he was shot. It would also turn out that Walker, the boyfriend, fired the first shot. Walker would later confirm to authorities that he fired the first shot, though ballistic shows the bullet wounded Sergeant Mattingly. Wow, this is a totally different version of this story. This is why I did not do this until today. This is why I've never spoken of Breonna Taylor till today. They do it every time. At the point where Sergeant Mattingly got hit by the bullet from the boyfriend, the officers opened fire. What, for the love of God, do you people want them to do? Oh, I'm sorry. We'll be back later. Let me go get this bullet wound taken care of first at the ER, and we'll come back. Oh, you don't want us to come back? That's fine. Tragically, six of the bullets struck Breonna. None hit Walker. By the way, again, the media's claimed she was in bed at the time. No. She was right there at Walker's side. And she knew or should have known that Walker was armed. We're done here. This story never should have been anything but a local news blurb about another drug shooting. Should have never gone nationwide. And had all the facts been reported, it wouldn't have. But this is what they do to tear the country apart. It's election year. It's useful. Coming up next on the show, about 8:06, we'll answer this question from the text line. I've never received a $3.5 million wire transfer from the mayor's wife in Russia. You? No. But the Biden lifestyle sure was financed by Russians and Chinese. Do you realize how they were doing this? I'm going to run through this. This is stunning. This money that the Biden family was living off of. Hunter Biden's private equity firm received about $3.5 million from Russian oligarch Yelena Baturina in 2014. And then the report goes on, the Senate report, to describe how members of the Biden family used credit cards linked to associates with ties to the Chinese Communist government and bought luxury items with the funds. See, this is the wild part of this. Hunter gets this money. He's the intake point from the Chinese, including people associated with the People's Liberation Army. Then that runs through another corporation and ends up in the bank accounts of his brother and his wife and other Bidens. So, I mean, they're like direct transferring the funds through a couple of accounts. But yes, as you talk about Chinese funds, Russian funds, straight in and straight out, lived the life. Boy, you know what? They would give anything to find just one payment from a Russian, not even the Russian government or an oligarch, just a Russian, to a Trump kid or to Donald Trump. They have spent years tearing apart his businesses, trying to find just one payment like this. Now you got the Biden family paying for their lifestyle with transfer payments from the Chinese, Russians, Kazakhstan. I don't know what's going on with those people. I'm going to run through this. It's mind-bending. Joe Biden was selling his vice presidency for cash to subsidize his family's lifestyle. And by the way, do you see this? Biden's campaign yelled and screamed, conspiracy theory, hit job, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't deny a single charge in the Senate report. See, I caught that. The mainstream media didn't, but I did.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.